That. As you see on the screen, children are dismissed. Go to children's church. What do you know about growth? It's kickoff Sunday. So, boot. I should have brought a football up here and put it right up into the balcony there just to see who's alert and who's alive, awake, enthusiastic up there and could make a catch. What do you know about growth? And I'm not just asking a question to think about. I actually would like some answers. We're in a farming community. You guys know a lot about growth. You've been walking with God for years. So whether it's physical plants growing or spiritual growth, throw some comments out here. I won't have somebody run around with a mic. Just a brief conversation, but I'll repeat it just so that everybody can hear and hopefully my ears can pick up on it. Yeah, what do you know about growth? Means something alive, absolutely, right? Dead doesn't grow. Might grow something else, right? Might get some other things feeding on the carcass, but the thing itself isn't growing unless it's alive. Beautiful.
It takes time.
Growth takes time. Gee, that stinks in our society, doesn't it? We should be able to pull up to the window and get whatever we want. Ah, that's frustrating. Sometimes. Yep. It needs nutrition. Absolutely. There's things required.
Shows change.
Ooh, that's a four-letter word for some people, right? Cuss word, change. It does. Things are happening.
Can be very rewarding.
Can be rewarding. Awesome, right? Yeah. You betcha. Not easy. Yeah, getting some very positive ones and some very, not sure if we like that. Hurts when you get pruned. Yeah, I think there's a real good scripture about being pruned. Blossoms better when it's pruned. You're right, we can start feeding off of each other and other things. Growth. Growing. Weeds grow too. That's another frustration. Don't you long for heaven when what you plant is all that comes up, not those other things to choke it out? I mean, I walk around town quite often, and unless you water a little bit, at least your lawn, what's the only ground, the only green thing in that whole patch? Weeds are flourishing. What's up with that? But not whatever you want there, the lawn. It's what?
Needs care.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't just happen. It's intentional. Good. Other thoughts? Growth? Growing? Precedes harvest. Yeah, but there is a harvest. Or that's what we anticipate, unless we fail somewhere along the way. Precedes harvest. Very good. Keep thinking about that. That's our theme for this whole series we walk through here. As we consider growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. That's our mission statement. If we can back it up one screen there, that'd be great. Growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. What's spiritual growth look like? As followers of Jesus, are we better followers, more representative, Christ-like followers this year than last year? What's been the growth? What's caused that growth? How have we nurtured that growth? What does growth even look like? Are we intentional about it? Or is it just kind of happening, we hope? And seeking to glorify God, are we growing in that? And are bringing glory to God? Right? Our society would promote glory of self in dozens of ways. We're saying as a church, we exist to bring glory to God. We're going to live differently. We're going to grow differently. Grow different fruit. nurture something different? Is that happening? Are you currently growing? See, because there's a huge lie out there, many of them, but one of them, is that we can plateau. That's a lie. If we think we're plateaued, we're not. We're not growing, and we're not growing in one direction, we're growing in another. We're either becoming more Christ-like or we're becoming less Christ-like. There's movement and change constantly, and we're growing. There's no just plateau, right? I don't know of any plant that just sits there. I'm stopped. It's either becoming more alive or it's becoming more dead. And so are we. We think at times we can just cruise along and plateau. That's not what we're called to, and that's not reality. There's a growth that is from God. We're going to talk, like I say, right up until Advent this fall about growth, growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to bring glory, to glorify God. But what is growth that is from God? I want to look at Colossians 2:19. If you've got your Bibles with you, it'll come up on the screen as well. But I've got 2:18 and 19 there because it creates a conflict in me. I want to give here the context and whatever else, but I'm not going to deal with 2:18, nor 16 and 17 like I was going to. I'm going to work real hard to just stick with 2:19. Like I say, that creates a conflict in me. I'm going to really try and summarize what Paul is up to here. But he's dealing with some people who are utterly religious and demanding that other people live out the religion in the right way, in other words, their preferred way. And Paul makes it clear that that was a shadow. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Right? If you see a shadow, if we couldn't see what was behind that wall, but the light was shining from behind that wall, and we could see the shadow, we would know that something's going to come out that doorway over there. We would see the shadow on the wall first. And we would have some pretty good clues about what the thing is that's going to come out. Right? If it's shaped like this, going along, right? We might guess a rabbit. Right? We would know if it's a cat. Now, depending where the light is, it could show a huge cat, and it actually might just be a small house cat. We could have some misconceptions. And the Old Testament is like that. But he says this isn't the real McCoy. The substance is Christ. I want to read the first few verses. Set the tone of chapter 2 here. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, Paul writing to the Colossians, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. Here's his desire, what he struggles for. That their hearts, and we can take this on ourselves, our hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach, that's a growing word, there's movement, there's growth, reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery. And what's God's mystery? Which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. That's what's going on in Colossians. That's what's going on in our society. A bunch of plausible, possible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in your religion. Your firmness of your faith in how you live. No, your firmness of your faith in Christ. See, it's a growth that is from God, and it comes through Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, how do we receive Jesus? By grace through faith. So walk in Him. So continue in that way. It's not by effort, even after we come to faith in Him. It's something He's doing in us. So walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And he goes on, see to it no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit and etc. And he's challenging the religious way of trying to earn our way to God. And he says, you're missing the point. The Old Testament even was to point the way, to help us look ahead. It's a shadow. Look ahead. Where's the substance? And all the feasts and temple worship, it was to open them up to who God is and to look forward. Right? That's why they longed so much for a Messiah. Where's the substance? We're tired of just seeing the shadow. And Christ comes. The temple's not necessary. We worship wherever Jesus is. We have a new identity. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. And there's value in both. We still study the Old Testament. It still reveals the character of God, just less clearly than Jesus, the substance. And that's a growth that comes through Jesus, and it's a growth that comes from God. So let's not be distracted or disqualified, as verse 18 says there before you. Let no one disqualify you. So he challenges the religiosity, earning our way, doing it just right. If we do this just right, it's not us who wins the battle. We just sung a song about that. It's not about our faith. But there is a God part and an our part in growth. And we want to try and keep this in mind throughout the series. This is a growth that comes from God. Right? We can plant, we can water, we can do all sorts of things, but who brings the growth? God does. And so it's true with our spiritual journey as well. Let no one disqualify you. He's challenging here some false teachers. So not just those that were proclaiming the Old Testament way of life, but actual false teachers who are distorting things. And I don't want to get right into this either, but let no one disqualify you in either of these matters in what they're insisting, because this disqualify term is like an umpire or someone who awards the prize. In other words, if you cheat, if you try and take a shortcut, you go other than the rules of life, God's creation, it doesn't work out. It absolutely doesn't work out. We get into a cycle of trying to meet our own needs apart from God. Well, that's not what he's calling us to. He says, I am sufficient. My mercies are new every morning. It comes through him. If we look at verse 19. And not withholding. So this is the false teachers here. Not holding fast to the head. He says all false religion is decapitated. And our efforts can become decapitated. They're disconnected from the head. That is Christ. He's the head of the church. And just our pursuing. So if I do this just right, right? If I study the Bible just right, if I do this, if I do that, if I get... But does it become disconnected to the head, from the head, or does it lead us to encounter the risen Christ? The written word, whether it's in electronic form or written right out, reveals the living word. Why do we meet here? We meet here to encounter God. We don't just meet here because it's the right thing to do and it earns us something and whatever else. It's a growth that comes from God. So not to be disconnected. I want to read a little bit of what one commentator says on this. This deceptive philosophy bridge the gap of Paul's severe criticism of this position, of following this. It's a distorted religion of religiosity, and experience becomes the highest thing. And it's an experience that they're sharing. Here's how I've encountered God. Or not even how I've encountered God. I've had this kind of out-of-body experience, and it's much more than all of yours, right? It becomes competitive and prideful. He says this deceptive philosophy, right? He says challenge everything. Look to it to see what is actually true. Hold fast to what is true, but discern whether it's true or not. And just somebody's experience and putting your faith in somebody's experience, Paul is challenging that. It leads to false understandings and false religion. Paul considered this false teaching so far removed from the Christian truth that it was actually sub-Christian worship experience. Listen to this. It was seeking to enrich the religious life without the source of that life. It was seeking to enrich the religious life without the source of that life, Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit. I repeat that because it's not just the Pharisees. Yes, they were going through religious motions and whatever else, but don't we fall into that same temptation? We get something into our schedule. I know some people are more disciplined than others, and they're going to do their devotions every morning, no matter what. But sometimes they're dry as a popcorn puff, and it's not leading them towards God. They're kind of, done my part. And they go on with their day, having not connected to the head. And it's tragic. He says, don't do this. Don't seek a religious life without the source of that life. I think even in churches sometimes we put a pressure on the people we're teaching to live out the fruits of the Spirit, for example. Live these out. Be more patient, right? I find I can raise my children that way sometimes. Expect something. But it's called a fruit of my condemning words, a fruit of the... No, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And unless we're connecting with the Spirit, it shouldn't become no surprise that we're not growing in the fruits of the Spirit. We're growing in something else. That's what he says, false religion. In fact, even religiosity that has some truth there is missing the point. It's disconnected from the life that is Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit. It was a headless religious movement. We don't want to become headless. We don't want to try and do growth in and of our own efforts. We want to keep this in mind that this is a... I'll continue to read here. Not holding fast to the head. It's not decapitated. From whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments. It's knit together. So he says, if you're not connected to the head, any growth that takes place will be misguided. It'll be in a totally different direction. Do we understand this? Not that growth won't take place, but it won't be growth in Christ. It'll be something else if it happens to take place. Right? There could be a church that's growing exponentially in numbers, but it's not becoming a church of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God. It's just growing in numbers, itching ears, Scripture says, right? People will gather around false teachers as they were in Paul's day. But it's not the body of Christ. It's not connected to the head, the source of life. We decapitate any one of us here this morning. We will cease to grow. It's a point of life. Where there's no life, there's no growth. And this, that whole body grows with a growth that is from God. And it's the body. the whole body growing together. We interpret so much of Scripture in North America as individualistic. How am I going to grow? It's not how Scripture was written. It was written to the people of God, to the church at Colossae. If he wrote today, it'd be the church at Coaldale. Yes, here and in the other places where the true church meets. We need to keep these things that in mind, that it's a body growing together, a growth that is from God. Yes, it needs to be nurtured and all sorts of things. And we have a role to play. We have a role to play. I asked somebody, after we succeed really well, I'll let you know who this is. But we have two different seeds started here. They're the same seeds, but we're going to treat them differently. This one in the black, we're going to nurture and take care of well. We've done the basics. It's planted. It's in earth. And we're going to see over time, over this series, if there's not a difference there. I'm praying we can see the difference. God wants to bring more life in us and through us than we are currently experiencing. And yes, we have a role in that too. This is a growth that is from God. But if we're not in the soil, if we can go to the next slide, we're going to go through five different things where these are our parts. But again, if we do them on our own, if we make these a religiosity thing of us pursuing, we're trying to do these things on our own, disconnected from the head, losing the point that these draw us into relationship with a risen Lord and Savior, if we lose that fact, then we're walking around with a headless, helpless, useless, impotent religion, lifeless. And we don't want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of growing. The Bible, I would say here, is like the earth. It's rooted. We're going to talk about a rooted faith in this series. Rooted in the Word of God, which reveals the living Word. The written Word reveals the living Word. It's not an end in itself. And it's, yeah, anyways, enough said there. But we're going to engage the Scripture. Guess what? If we're not engaging the Bible regularly, don't be surprised that our growth isn't Christ-like. It's spelled out clearly. This is how God's revealed himself. This is how God's revealed the truth about us. And if the Bible's not a part of it, don't be surprised we're not even in his garden. We're not there in the earth, the dirt. Prayer. Everything growing needs sunshine. Get it? Play on words. Sunshine and the sun shining. Jesus, the sun. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that response. But if we're not communing with him, connecting with him in prayer, it's not because it's the right thing to do. We need to pray. If we want to grow, yeah, we'll need to pray. It's one of those avenues, and there's all sorts of ways to pray. We want to talk really practically about how to inspire us to pray, because sometimes, many of us, we just lose it, right? We lose our focus, we're distracted with this and that and the other thing, and our prayer life kind of dwindles down to a bare minimum, right? And if we give these plants over the next week, we'll see the one in the brown. We'll give it a bare minimum. We're going to leave it right here in the sanctuary. We'll move the other one around to where it can get some light. And I'm thinking we'll see some difference. It's true with our lives too. It's not just because prayer is the right thing to do. We must do this. It's because in it, we're illuminated. The path is made clear. We're in relationship with the Son, and we need. He is the source. Otherwise, we're depending on ourselves, and it's crazy. But we try and do that, don't we? Obedience. Obedience, what would happen? Well, we can see our lawns when we don't water them, right? They wither. They die. They're not growing. If they can come back months later, they're doing well. But they quickly wither without water. Obedience is like that. We wither quickly without it. Very quickly. Fellowship. I would say this isn't just one of them. And I've got this on a hand. Fellowship is the one where we wear our rings. We think of being married, being in relationship. Well, we need that. Absolutely need that. In fact, I would say this covers them all. Studying the Bible together, learning prayer together, obedient communally, not just individually. So fellowship, I think it's probably only going to get 1 week in here. But what I want us to understand is this is something the body does together. We're either growing as a body or we're not. Not just interpreting this individualistically. And then sharing. I just put the word down there. We did a book as a family quite a while ago. How to inspire youth to grow. I took the five topics right from there. Bible, prayer, obedience, fellowship, and sharing. I just took that word. I think it's not just sharing in a narrow sense, but what is the fruit? Are we having an impact? This church ceased to exist next month. Would the town even notice? Would it matter? Are we having an impact? Are we bearing fruit, being a blessing outside of this place? We're going to talk about that. We should be providing fruit and shade and impact of all sorts. We don't exist for ourselves, right? You plant a bean plant just so it can be a great bean plant, right? And be better than all the other bean plants and can say, I'm the best bean plant in the world, right? That's the purpose of it. No, it's to produce beans, nourishment for someone else. The church is the only organization, the only organism in the world that doesn't exist just for itself. I mean, very clearly doesn't exist for itself. It produces good for others. What's that good look like? We're praying for it now. Alma was up here. We've been ministering as a congregation, as a body, to seniors in our community. Extended community at times. What's that look like in this season? We're asking God. We're not sure. We're okay with things changing and shifting as a leadership. But what is He calling us to do? And we want to see Him impact and do real ministry, produce good in others. Do you desire growth? You really? I mean, we heard some negatives. It's not fun being pruned. It's going to mean change. Right? We're all making decisions. We make decisions every day about how we spend our time. What are you going to spend your time watching? Reading? Is it life-giving? Is it connecting you and others to the head? Is it helping us follow Jesus? Because we will grow. We are changing. We are being impacted and influenced. And it does come to some choices that we are making. Which one of these? I've got it in the bottom of the bulletin there. All five of these are listed. Which one right now is God saying to you and going, wow, where's this one in your life right now? Just rate them on a 1 to 5 scale. Yeah, I'm engaging in Scripture regularly. Prayer? Yeah, 1 out of 5. Which one is He saying, don't be surprised you're not growing, not having an impact, not flourishing as a body or as an individual? You're not there. Are we planted in the Word? Are we getting sunlight through prayer? Are we obeying? Are we regularly watered? Nourished? Fellowship is the fertilizer. Yeah, fertilizer stinks at times. Right? Our interpersonal relationships in the body can bring some friction. It can become an opportunity to divide. There's a lot of immature Christians moving from congregation to congregation because every time some sort of sin, something comes up in their life that they don't really want to look at, don't want to go through the growth of, they disengage. And they're immature, they're stunted, they're growing in another direction, but it's not towards Christ anymore, it's stopped. I will not have that fertilizer on me. It's gross and it's stinky. And we need each other. I don't know my sin real well until my wife points it out. Right? Don't want to see your sin? Don't get married. You don't want to see your sin in your life? Don't have children. Right? What do they repeat? All the bad stuff I did. Rarely do they imitate my good qualities, but they do sometimes. And I'm not just saying only my boys. I'm saying that's reality, right? In close relationship, we get an honest picture of who we are. But what an incredible opportunity for growth if we'll face it and realize, oh, right? We can think, oh, woe is me. I'm such a stinking, rotten, horrible, right? We can believe a bunch of lies about ourselves, or we can believe the truth. And God says, you are amazing. I created you for a purpose. I love you as you are, and I love you enough to prune you, to make you flourish more healthy, and more impact. What an opportunity. When we see our sin, we go, God, look at this horrible thing in my life, and I just keep doing it. And we give it to Him. We surrender. That's repentance. We surrender it to God. We turn from it. But it's a growth that is from God. Are we trusting Him for the growth, or are we going, oh, come on, Gary, get into shape. Do this, do that, study more, do this. These are not things we have to do. These things we need to do. We need these desperately. We get to do these. He's revealed this to us. We can't be healthy if we're not in dirt, if we're not in the Bible, if we're not engaging the Son, we're not praying. We're not responding in obedience. I know obedience, terrible word. We don't like it. We don't like submitting. He says this is for us, right? How many professing Christians read the Bible? Okay, well, that's what the Bible says. And immediately go away to make their own decision of how they're going to respond. Because it's not authoritative anymore. We don't trust that God has our good. We think we can figure it out better, and obedience is optional. Obedience to parents has become optional. We don't really need fellowship, right? I'm a Christian, I believe Jesus is, and I can just live alone. You can't grow alone. We need each other to be a part of the body. We need to contribute in active ways our part, and we need all the other parts. How does the ear see unless they're in relationship with the eye to let them know what they're seeing, and the ear to let the body know what they're hearing, and the hands to respond? And then the impact, the sharing, whatever, however we live that out. But God produces that as well. But it's through our obedience and living it out. So which one? Which one of those is God saying, hey, I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Will you abide in me? Rest in me. Know that this is a growth that is from God. Because we have a decision to make. We can go, well, no, that sounds risky. I don't want to change. If we start having impact, we might have people in our church that don't fit in quite the way we think they do. This might make us uncomfortable. You're willing to go there? Do you really, really want growth? Because it all doesn't come easy. Pruning isn't fun. Getting fertilizer dumped on your head isn't fun. It means change. I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to actually not just say I'm a follower of Jesus. I long to abide, to remain in the pot. Let Him produce in me. I'm going to obey when He says I'm going to walk by faith, not by fear. Here's all the reasons I shouldn't obey. No. I'm going to be in Scripture and praying so that I have the courage that God gives, right? The peace that passes understanding to actually move forward, that we could experience a growth that is from God. This isn't us. What can we do? Can we impact it? Can we entertain the community? Probably. Could we guilt some people into helping at the lodge? Probably. That isn't what it's about. This is something supernatural. Will we ask for? Will we seek God this season that He would grow us? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. We don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. We want to be a people of faith, those who follow You, Jesus, and You hung around with sinners. You made time in Your busy, demanding schedule to engage the Father. So many of Your responses are full of Scripture. It's not just memorizing a verse for the sake of memorizing a verse and check it off our list. It's to draw us into relationship with You that we could grow and flourish together and really be Your body. Not just a religious organization, but Your body. And have impact, God, bearing fruit, providing shade, all sorts of things for Your glory. Not for ours. This isn't so that we can pat ourselves on the back like the religious leaders were doing. Oh, aren't we so spiritual and we got it right and we got the right theology. It's about bringing glory to You, God. Would You humble us? Humble us. And bring us to the point where we earnestly desire to grow in You and to bring glory to You. Amen.